Second Corinthians, we're in a series right now called The Kingdom, and we're looking at various aspects of, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Last week we talked about the armor of God, and we had some really cool props and illustrations, and I'm going to have some of that today as well, but we're moving more into an offensive posture. Okay, and so I want you to look at this, 2 Corinthians 10:3, you there? This is what it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are not natural, you could say, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Everyone say pulling down. And for casting down arguments, say casting down. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity, say captivity, to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on this time. Mighty God, we just come before you and we thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power that's already been so incredible in our worship time together. We thank you for receiving new members, Lord, and the opportunity to give, and above and beyond all, Lord, the ability to worship and to engage and to receive in your presence, mighty God. Oh, we just love you this morning. We bless your holy name, and I ask that a great anointing would rest upon me, Lord, as I bring forth your word. Anoint the hearer, the listener today, that we would receive with authority, Lord. We would receive with clarity that which you have purposed. And Lord, I bind every work of the enemy, every word of distraction, every lying spirit, anything that would try and twist, pervert, distract, distort, any way, Lord, your word desires to come into our heart, Lord. Move by your might and by your power today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How many understand we are spiritual beings? We are more spiritual. I know this is a hard concept. You might understand this theologically or whatnot, but when you look in the mirror every morning, you get up and you get yourself ready, you're combing your hair, you're putting on your makeup, whatever that routine looks like. Do you understand that you are a lot more than what you see in the mirror there? One of my favorite quotes was by a man of God named C.S. Lewis. He was a thinker, and he was a theologian, incredible man of God. And this is what he said. He said this: you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. Let me say that again. I want you to think about this. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. What you see in the mirror is one day going to die, it's going to decay, it's going to fade away. You are a soul, and your soul is what is going to live on for eternity. See, when Jesus returns, the Bible says that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, our body is going to be transformed. How many are excited about that day? Every day you wake up with a sore back, every day you wake up with a headache, every day you got a head cold. It's just like these moments, you just, wow. I can't wait till I get a glorified. Some of you are aging. I think it's amazing. We're all aging, actually. But we've started running. We're at Box for God. You can join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it's just, it's amazing. We did a jog the other day. And as we come up, Guyton, he's got a mission to kill us, I am convinced. But we did this deal. This last, I don't know, Wednesday or Monday or something. And we're coming up, and what he wanted us to do is we were jogging from down from Front Street. We came all the way up here just at a nice light jog. But then he wanted us to sprint from like the corner down here all the way to the stop sign right there. And what was amazing is, I've done some running. I've done some jogging and some distance kind of stuff. But an all-out sprint like that, I don't even know the last time I've done that. And he had people chasing than you. And it's like, if you get beat by the person behind you, then you're going to have to do push-ups. Like I said, he wants to kill us. So you know, I'm doing this. And you know what's hilarious? This doesn't have anything to do with my sermon, but this is just funny. So I'm running. And I heard him say for the next person to go. And I'm in an all-out sprint. And I hear somebody like coming up behind me. And I'm like, dang, they're going to catch me. And so I don't want to do push-ups. And so I pick up the pace and I start going even faster. And I hear the steps even closer. And I'm just like, I'm freaking out. So I get to the stop sign and I turn around and I look and the person behind me is like 50 yards behind me. And I'm like, what in the world? And so I realized that my shoes were actually like the way they were squeaking and like flopping on my feet, I thought was somebody chasing me, but was actually just, I was hearing myself. And so Guyton, he came up and afterwards he's like, man, I didn't know you had that much gas in your tank after our workout already. And I'm like, so anyway, so what was the point of this? So, oh, we're aging, right? And so anyway, after that sprint, I mean, I gave it all that I had because I thought somebody was chasing me. And then like my quads start hurting and I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, I never used to have this problem when I was 18 in high school, you know, and just like, well, why? I didn't know these muscles could hurt like that, and it's just wild. And so, our body is one day going to pass away, and we are far more in the unseen realm. I mean, our thought processes, our life, and even our warfare here, this is what Paul is directing our attention to. But even understand, have you ever been confused when it's like, why did Jesus, when he was standing there before the Sanhedrin and they're accusing him, you ever wondered why? Like, Jesus, why didn't you defend yourself? Why didn't you stand up? And there was a prophetic fulfillment right there. But you understand, Jesus could have lived to save his physical body. I'm going to save myself from punishment. I'm going to save myself from that bloody old cross. I'm going to save myself from the whipping and all the things that he was about to endure. But he knew that what was going to transpire in the spirit was far more important than his physical body. That what he was going to accomplish through his death and in turn his resurrection was going to be a far more value than defending himself and doing. He had a spiritual mindset. This is why he remained silent. So, you know, last week was mostly defensive. We talked about armor. Get online, go listen to that message. It was a lot of fun to preach. But this week is mostly offensive. There's three adjectives that were used, and I had you actually repeat them as we were reading through this passage. But this is we're stepping into some warfare and weapons of warfare. And here's the three adjectives that are used. I'm going to put slightly different words to them, but during our points. But it was pulling down, casting down, and capturing, or bringing into captivity. Pulling down. Everyone say pulling down. Casting down and capturing. Now, this sounds like a lot of fun, and I hope this is going to be good for you. Now, so the first thing that I want to talk about today is what he talked about to, he said, we do not walk according to the flesh, or weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Your translation, depending on what you're reading, may say cut down strongholds. And so, Jacob, I want you to bring me that first one here. I want you to bring me the sword. Now, I showed you this last week. And now this thing is awesome. This was made from, they call it the beak of a swordfish. Okay. And so this is actually legit right now. And let me tell you, I actually, Jacob helped me, and you might have to correct me. Pahi Kaua, is that right? He's we'll just go with that. Pahi Kaua, Kaua, Kaua. Pahi, would that be right? Pahi Kaua. And so this is literally the Hawaiian word for sword. And so, you know, we talked last week about the sword of the spirit, and I told you that we would get more into that this week. But, I mean, this thing is pretty sweet. Now, you made this one, yeah? Yeah, Jacob made this himself, and he and his family, they have a museum and a lot of different artifacts. You can ask him for details. A lot of what I'm going to show you today, either he made or his father made, just incredible. And thank you guys for letting me use some of this stuff. It helps bring a good picture, doesn't it? And so, you know, so let's talk about this. We have the sword of the Spirit, which the word of God, it actually compares to the word of God. And so let me just define for you, because you're going to understand this here in just a moment. The Bible talks about strongholds. This is what he said. He gave us these weapons of warfare. They're not natural. They're not necessarily like the beak of a swordfish, but they're spiritual in nature. And he said that they were mighty for cutting down strongholds. Now, what is stronghold? This is, you can write this down. This is my very simple definition. But a stronghold is simply a wrong belief. A wrong belief. And I'll tell you why I define it that way. If you actually look at the technical definition, literally a stronghold can be a fortress or anything on which one relies. And so how many know there's actually like good fortresses? There's biblical fortresses. Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, in the horn of my salvation, and my stronghold." And so you can literally have a fortress or a stronghold in which you hide in the Lord, and God can be a stronghold for us. But what Paul is talking about here, I mean, we don't want to cut down the stronghold of God. We don't want to cut down our reliance on God and on his kingdom. And so what is he talking about? We're talking about light versus darkness, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And essentially what we're talking about here are demonic strongholds. So this is what happens essentially. We have a bad experience in life. We have a wound. We have a betrayal. And what happens is the devil seeks opportunity through these occurrences in our life to form a lie in our life. And if we believe that lie, you might have had a tragedy. Maybe your mom got sick. Maybe someone died prematurely. And you have this idea that the devil sows into your heart, well, God isn't good. God did that. God allowed that. Or maybe you have something where you've got this emptiness, this void in your life. Maybe a fatherless situation or something like that. And you're going to fill that with the drugs, or you're going to fill that with a relationship. And well, this fills me up. I feel good when I do this. I'm numbed when I do this, or this person makes me feel good. And so what we do is we form this idea that, well, through this relationship, through this substance, or if I adhere to this lie, or if I worship in this system, we accept these things, and what we do is we accept it, and that's what we learn to rely on in our life. Is this making sense? And over time, we begin to trust in these things. And this is how is formed a demonic thought process. And let me give you a good example. In Luke 13, verse 10, I'll just read it to you. Luke 13, 10, it says, "Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." So it's clear here, I mean, it says right there that it was a spirit of infirmity. Jesus said, "Loose her, let her go." I mean, it was pretty clear that this was a demonic thing that was attached to this woman. And I want you to think about the implications of this. The devil had this poor woman in a place where she could literally see nothing. She could only see her own problem. In fact, if you ever hear Bill Johnson talk about this, he talks about how she was a navel gazer. You know, your navel is, right? Your belly button. She was a navel gazer. And how she literally, she had become so consumed with this issue in her life that literally she could only look, I can't even bend over that way. I mean, she could only look inwardly. And this is exactly where the devil wants to bring. He wants us to be so consumed with our own issues, with our own struggles, with our own problems, that we are of, I mean, she's in the house of God. Understand, Jesus was in the house of God. He was there ministering on the Sabbath. So she came to church on Sunday morning, and she's there, but she's not serving. She's not helping. She's not loving anybody else. She's not giving to anybody else because she is so consumed with the devil that is hanging on her back that literally all she can do is this inward focus, looking at herself, focused on herself. Do you see? This is, the devil has won a partial victory. He may not be able to get you to backslide out of the church, but if you can come into the church with only a selfish, well, it's all about me mentality. Well, somebody help me. Will somebody do something for me? And listen, we're here to help you. We're here to help you. We're here to bless you. We want to see you healed and we want to see you made whole. But if you come to the point where it's all about you, and we don't take these moments where it's like, God, you are worthy. Take your eyes off of you and lift your eyes up. And Lord, you are worthy. And we don't take a moment to pause and say, you know what? I've been blessed and now it's my turn to be a blessing to somebody else. That's part of what the kingdom is all about. It's not just about receiving. Yeah, there's benefits that we receive, but there's times where God is instructing us, you need to stand up and you need to look out and you need to discern. Is there somebody else who needs something cut off of their life? Is there somebody else who needs assistance in this life? And so this is where we need to spell. Jesus, he came, and what did he do? He spoke a word. And he laid hands on her, and she was set free. And the Bible says that she then, did you hear me read it there? It says that she glorified God. Some of you have a legitimate wound. You've got a hurt. You've got a pain. And the spirit of truth, which is the word of God, wants to invade that issue, set you free, and bring you to a place where you're not navel gazing any longer, but your life now brings glory to God Almighty. And so listen, let me just help you out. So how do I do that, Pastor? You might even be thinking, even as I'm talking, well, I can think of some thought systems that I've got in my life that are not right. I can think of some strongholds. I can think of a wrong belief system. I've thought that God's not good. I've been angry at God. I've thought that my life was a mistake. I thought, you know, you've got these demonic thought processes. So what do you do about it? And this is what the Bible says. Watch this. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Now, this is a cool sword. And if I wanted to, I could impale somebody with this, I'm sure. But even if this sword was sharpened incredibly, I'd have to be very skilled and probably really strong if I was going to divide your joint and marrow. You know what I'm talking about. If I were to bring this into you, but this is what the Bible says, that the word of God is like a sharp, two-edged sword. And it not only is able, it's not only sharp enough, I mean with surgical precision to divide joint and marrow, but it is also able, I love this part, it talks about how it can expose our innermost thoughts and desires. What are the desires in your life? Desires aren't necessarily bad. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Desires aren't necessarily bad. But are they godly desires? Are they godly driven? Because I'm telling you, there's a moment. In fact, in our men's Bible study yesterday, join us for the Gate and the Well, the first and third Saturdays of the month. We were talking a lot about our thought processes and spiritual warfare and just winning a victory over sin. And most of it begins right here in our thought process, church. Most of it does. And most of us, sometimes you don't even realize how twisted, how off, how bound your thought processes are until somebody comes with a word of truth. Have you ever had this happen? You come into church, you're listening to a podcast, you're watching something on Facebook, you're reading your Bible, and you're thinking, boy, I'm doing pretty good in my walk with God. And all of a sudden, you get some guy like David Wilkerson come skin you alive, right? You get a prophet of God come into the house of God, and you realize, oh, I have had such a terrible attitude. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, I hope I don't do that to you every week, but I know hopefully you get that from time. But when the word of God comes, that's exactly what happens. It exposes. It's like cutting away. Hey, this is not a good thought. Hey, this is not a good desire. It's like cutting away at different parts of our life. And it also begins to expose in our lives. Hey, you're getting this one right. That's faith thinking right there. Hey, that's a God desire right there. You see, because you're going to have things. God puts a vision in your heart. Well, I'd like to lay hands on somebody and see him recover. I would like to be a part of that Bible study. Maybe I should get baptized tonight. You get these thoughts that come into your mind. And, well, how do I know if it's God or if it's not? I'm telling you, has anybody ever wondered that? How do I know if this is a God thought, if this is myself, or if this is the devil trying to mess? Anybody ever think? I think we all have. You should think this way anyway. The best way you can begin to filter through these things is the Word of God. You begin to take the Word of God. Well, would the Word of God encourage me to get baptized? Absolutely it would. Would the devil encourage me to get baptized? Absolutely not. And so can we say, well, is this a God idea or is this a devil idea? Would God encourage me to go with Emery and to do outreach on Tuesday nights? Well, would the devil want me to do that or would God? You begin to apply the Word and what? You know what I'm talking about? The Word of God. But here's the last part of this. It says that it will cut, ooh, I like this part, between soul and spirit. It will cut between our soul and our spirit. Our soul is our mind, it's our will, it's our emotions. Now, I'm going to tell you guys, most of your battle over sin, most of your battle to walk over in the way of the Lord is going to be in the soulish realm. If you can get your thinking right, if you can get your will in line with God's will, if you can get your emotions in check, I'm telling you, you're going to struggle a lot less in this life. Most things will just naturally fall into place. But if we struggle with our thought process, If our will is not in a line, we're doing our own will. God's will is over here and we're doing our own thing here. If our emotions are just all over the place, they're unruly and they're uncontrolled, you're really going to struggle in this life. You're really going to have a hard time. Our spirit is redeemed. It's Christ-like. If you've been born of the Spirit, your spirit is alive. It's been made whole. And so those are wonderful things. Amen? Yeah. Let's move on. So do you understand? The cutting, right? We're going to cut down strongholds. So I don't know if I said it so clearly, but just so you understand, this is the bottom line right here. A stronghold is a wrong belief. You're relying on, you're leaning on an ungodly truth, an ungodly principle, something wrong that you believe about God. And what will break demonic strongholds is truth. The Word of God being alive in your life, it'll cut these things down. Well, this concept, chomp, 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 is like, you know, cutting up veggies on your counter. It's like, no, this is all wrong. And so we're just going to cut this all up. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody have that experience? Yeah, me too. So now let's go on to the next one. Here, Emery, you can just take that and don't break it. So, and Jacob, you bring me the next one here. Both of them. Yeah. Now, This is really fun. So remind me the name of this. I have it written down. The Ihe. Now this is it's like Kihe, but Ihe. And this is a spear. And this is awesome. Now let me just teach you something. So the Bible actually talks about spears can be used in two different ways. So a spear, of course, can be used in kind of close combat. It's not even that close because I can hit somebody from a good distance away, right? And so, Jacob, why don't you just come and do this? Just look cool while you're just thrusting this spear around for us a little bit. And just show us how this looks. So how would you use it if you were a warrior? About like that. And so you're attacking people with that. Yeah, so you got you do that. And so there's a throw. Now this is what's cool. No, for real. Because most of the time, you have you ever read about how the devil, how we can, through faith, we can quench the fiery darts of the enemy? You know, most of the time when the Bible's talking about a dart, well, what's a dart? Like, you know, a dart, like you're playing darts? No, most of the time a dart is actually a spear that is thrown. And so we can see this. And so that's so this is dart. Okay. This is spear. You understand the difference? I mean, in the biblical context. Now we also have here. Now, Jacob, you made this by hand, didn't you? This is a sling. And this is actually really close to what you would see David would have used back in his day. It's not like, you know, the little Y thing Dennis the Menace would use. But this is like a. we better take this rock out of here because I will hurt somebody with that. And that's a real lava rock. That thing would absolutely knock somebody out. But you feel this thing and you swing this and you'd release it. And I can't do it right. Jacob, you show us. Come here. Here. Not with the rock. Unless you're really good at it. So come in front of the camera so they can see you online here. And somebody hold his spear. And so this is how this would look. He's got it looped. Oh, man. Did you guys hear that whip? I mean, how would you like to have something like that thrown at you? So now let me just thank you, Jacob. I just feel like I need to hold. Let me hold the spear. I just want to hold on to it while I'm talking here. Yeah, yeah. So just feel great, you know. And so, because you guys pay attention if I'm holding something like this. If you fall asleep, I will wake you up. Okay. So So let me just give you some. So actually, First Chronicles actually uses the word arrow. And it uses the word darts, and it uses the word slings, all interchangeably. So these are all distance weapons, right? I don't have to get real close to you. I mean, I can hit you at a distance. I can dart you, as the Bible talks about. And look at this. Let me just read you some verses, and you'll see some similarities here. This is arrows now. Psalm 64, verse 3. Who have sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aimed bitter speech as their arrow to shoot from concealment the blameless. So this is in a negative context, but it actually talks about how our negative speech, or how our words are like arrows. Proverbs 25:18, like a club, like a sword and a sharp arrow is a man who bears false witness against his neighbor. So again, there you see it's our words. Jeremiah 9:8, their tongue is a deadly arrow. Right? I typed this wrong. Probably Nehemiah. Don't even try and write it down. It says P-E-H in my thing. I just typed it wrong. So probably Nehemiah. 6:16, take up. Oh, no. It's Ephesians. Okay. Ephesians 6:16. Take up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows or the fiery darts of the evil one. So there's not only bad, God uses arrows too. This is pretty cool. Psalm 144, verse 6. He said he will flash forth lightning and scatter them and send out arrows to confuse them. Speaking about how God is going to war on behalf of David here. In Zechariah 9:14, it says the Lord will appear over them. His arrow will go forth like lightning, and the Lord God will blow the trumpet and march in the storm winds from the south. Now, what's cool about the sling in Jeremiah, so it's actually used, outside of like the literal war context, there's three times, twice in Jeremiah and once in 1 Samuel, that God says he's going to use a sling, God's sling. And every time God says that he's going to use a sling, this is what he says. I'm going to take this people and I'm going to sling them out of the land. I'm going to cast them out. This land belongs to you. I'm going to take them and I am going to sling them, or I am going to cast them out. So when the Bible talks about darts, most of the time it's talking about spears that are thrown. So let me just look at this. So high things, when it says, we read this in 2 Corinthians. I want you to make the connection here. It says we pull down strongholds, or we cut down strongholds. That's what we just mentioned. And the second thing here is that we are going to, did I give you the point yet? We are going to shoot down, or you could say cast out, shoot down or cast out high things. Now, what are high things? This is what we just read. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And watch this: casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So, as you look in if you really study this out, when they talk about high things, they're actually talking about individuals who would attack from a tower, or individuals who would attack from the top of a wall. I mean, this is not just this is not hand-to-hand combat anymore. I can't attack somebody on a wall or on a tower with a sword, right? So I need a dart. I need a distance weapon. I need a sling. I need an arrow with which I can attack the enemy. You guys see in this picture. And so what we're dealing with, and I love this, when you have high things. Now, the Bible actually talks about how these are ungodly thoughts. These are imaginations that can go. Some of your translations might even say pride that would keep you from receiving. And the Bible says that God resists the proud in James 4:6. And he gives grace to the humble. Who wants to fight against God? Okay, just making sure you're paying attention. We need, this is really what it comes down to. You get the word of God, and you need to begin to speak to thoughts and imaginations as they come into your heart. If you recognize, no, that thought is not a godly thought. The thought to punch my neighbor is not a godly thought. The thought to get angry and yell at my wife is not a godly thought. The thought to lust after this woman is not a godly thought. You begin to take those and you just release, no, God has made me pure. God has made me holy. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to diffuse this situation with a gentle word. I'm going to turn away wrath. You just begin. It's like arrows being shot into the enemy. You just begin to release the word of God like darts being slung. You guys get this picture. I mean, this is self-explanatory. I'm telling you, the word is a weapon. And when you begin to speak this thing forth, when you begin to release this thing, oh, I'm telling you, church, it is so powerful. Devil's hanging out on a tower close to you. But you've got arrows, you got slings, you got spears that you can use. Release the word of God. Destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Jacob, you can take this and bring me the third one as well. Yeah. So this, I'll tell you, while he's getting that, we've got it hidden in our armory back there. And this is Loa Mana. Is that right? Loa Mana. Yeah. So I wrote it down. Leo Mana. Mano. Leo Mano. Literally means shark tooth sword. Shark tooth. Yeah, get a good picture of this. Let me look. Okay. Shark tooth sword. Could you imagine taking this thing to the neck? I mean, it's just like... Ooh, this is, yeah, I'm sorry. This is warfare, though, okay? If you get queasy, you know, I'm sorry. But our God is a warrior, and he wants to teach us to war. And so let me tell you what application I see in this. The third part of our text here, it talks about casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing, watch this, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought captive. So this is your third point. I want you to write this down. Capture rebellious thoughts. Capture rebellious thoughts. You can put these in parentheses next to that if you'd like to. Teach them to obey Christ. Capture rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Now, if you think about this, I want to take Emery hostage. Come here, Emery. Now, you just come close here. So, you can have all the muscles you want, bro. I got the shark tooth sword. So, now let me ask you, if I was carrying the sling, if I had the sling, do you think the sling would be a good weapon for me to take somebody hostage? Not really. Why? Because the moment I start doing this, I mean, Emery's, he's gonna take me out. I mean, this is a distance weapon, but I can't hold him captive using a distance weapon. Now, even the spear, I mean, this thing is so long and uncontrollable at a close distance. I mean, he's just gonna grab this thing right behind the sharp head of this thing, and it's done. Sword might be okay, but if I take this, you know, turn around. And I'm not gonna do. You guys get the. I don't want to hurt him. You know, we don't. We already got through a healing time. I mean, these are real shark teeth, man. These are real shark. But this is the kind of thing that you want to use within close proximity. He's not going anywhere. He's not doing anything. If he makes one wrong move, then I'm. You know, this just pow. You know, it's over, right? And so, thank you, Emery. That's good. And so. This is where you can use, you need a close distance a weapon. And this is the kind of thought. You have a knife, you're dealing with something close, and this is where it gets really personal. This now is not, this is not some wound that has surrounded you, something that has engulfed you that you need to begin to chip away with the word of God, with the sword of God. This is not some demonic thing that's coming from the outside, some influence from the outside. This is literally what is closest to you, because it's literally your own thoughts, your own desires that are on the inside. And the Bible is saying you're not going to cast these things out. You're not going to shoot them with a fiery arrow. You're not going to dice them to pieces. You need to take them captive. You need to grab a hold of these things. And if you've got rebellious and unruly thoughts, you need to bring them into submission under the yielding, under the yoke of Jesus Christ. Make them submit to Jesus. Because here's the deal. Either your thoughts will work against God, or they're going to work for God. Your desires are either going to work against God, or they are going to work for God. And maybe you've heard me. Next week, I'm really going to begin to dig into the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Awesome weapons of warfare. But here's one thing that the Bible says, and this will kind of whet your interest for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. And maybe you've heard me share this before, but the Bible says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Everyone say desire. We want to desire spiritual gifts. But especially the Bible says that you may prophesy. So we're to desire all spiritual gifts. He highlights prophecy there. And next week I'll talk about why he does that. But desire is used in every part of this. Did you notice in every part of our discussion this morning, we talked about desires. How the devil will speak through our desires. He'll plant desires. How the word of God can divide our desires and all of these things. But look at this. Desire, 1 Corinthians, you desire spiritual gifts. Now, the word that's used here in this passage is the Greek word zeluo. Everyone say zeluo. And maybe you've heard me teach this, but I want you to get this in your heart. And if you're trying to spell out the Greek word there, it's Z-E-L-O. And then there's a what was that? A hyphen? No, not a hyphen. No, not an apostrophe. This flat, straight line, the minus sign. Whatever. Hash. Okay. Well, yeah. Whatever. It's this. Just write that down. And then another O with a dash on top of it. So anyway, what is it? A dash. Okay, we'll just call it a dash. So I should have figured that out before I told you how to spell it. So zeluo. Everyone say zeluo. That word literally means to boil with envy, hatred, anger, lust, covetousness, or jealousy. Ooh, this sounds great, doesn't it? We are going to boil with envy, hatred, anger, lust, covetousness, jealousy. So when the Bible says to desire... Listen, 12 times it's used in the New Testament. And every time it's used to describe sin. That's why most of these definitions are negative. So it talks about when you lust after a woman, when you're angry with your brother, when you covet your neighbor, when you're jealous for somebody else, when you envy their possessions, when all of these things are used, it says the word zeluo, desire. But Paul takes this one passage, one moment, and he uses this incredibly strong word that every time in the Bible is used to describe sin, but here he's saying, I want you to desire spiritual gifts. And you know what this tells me, church? This tells me, you guys, I mean, you know what it's like to lust. You know what it's like to envy. You know what it's like to have ungodly desire. Oh, if I could only have the house that they have, then everything would be good. If only my spouse was more like that spouse right there. That's envy. That's desire. If only I had the platform of ministry that this person had. That's jealousy. These are all ungodly emotions. Oh, if only I could have one night with a woman like that. These are ungodly desires. We see this, yes? And I believe you don't. Listen carefully to me about what I'm about to say. You don't cast out thoughts like that. You don't cut down thoughts like that. You take thoughts like that captive. You take those desires captive. You're going to say to your mind, I'm not going to think that way. I'm not, because here's the deal. God has given you desires. God has given you an imagination. The problem is the devil will influence us and will use those thoughts and imaginations and will steer them in an ungodly sense. And God's not saying, listen, get rid of your imagination, get rid of your thoughts. He's saying, take those thoughts captive. And I want you to take that desire and reorient it. I want you to redirect it. So the same way your imagination used to run wild. Oh, if I had $1 million. Oh, if I had one night with this person. Oh, if I had this or that. He's saying, don't destroy those. Reorient those. Direct them. Oh, Lord, if only I was walking righteously after you. Oh, God, if only I was in your perfect will. Oh, Lord, only if I could, if only I could operate in the gifts of your Holy Spirit. That's exactly what he's saying here. Desire spiritual gifts. Lord, I would love to lay hands on my coworker and see them recover when they need it. Oh, Lord, I would love to be able to prophesy to my mother-in-law who's in depression and to see her liberated immediately. Oh, God, I would love to be able to see the devil broken off of my brother who's bound in sin and demonic issues. You know, you guys understand this is what it means to desire spiritual gifts. So there's things we take the word of God and we need to see him divide it. We need to see him cut things down. There's other things like an arrow being released, being shot out, that we're gonna release the word of God, and it's like an arrow. It's gonna penetrate. Oh, Satan, you got to get out of here. We cast you out. And there's other things when it comes to our mind and our thought process, we take it captive. We take it captive. Have you got it this morning, church? Well, that's about all that I got for you this morning. So this is what I want to do. I want to pray for us. And in fact, could I maybe, Shalia, if you'll come in and just get on the guitar. I think Ryland's doing a study with the youth right now, which I'm thankful for. But I want to pray. And this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. The Bible says that we're going to take every thought captive. And we've got just a couple minutes here. I want to take about 5 minutes here. And would you just stand to your feet all across this room right now? Stand to your feet. And this is what I want to do. This is how I want to pray here for a moment. There's some here that you really struggle. Maybe it'd be better to get on the piano. I don't know. I don't know why it's. The devil lives in the media, I'm telling you guys. He lives in electronics. He lives in, but take it captive. Get out. You know, so. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I really, church, I want to see us walking the way that Jesus would desire us to walk. And that measure of freedom and that measure of liberty. And what I want to do, let me tell you an experience that I had. Years ago, I won't share the whole story, but I'll never forget Deliverance Week at Christ for the Nations. God began to speak to me so clearly as the Word of God came out. It was dividing soul and spirit. It was dividing my thoughts and all these things. And I realized, boy, I'm bound up. I've got some issues. I got some wrong thinking that's going on here. I'll never forget, I stepped down to the altar. I had hands laid on me. I confessed and I shared. I just began to pour my heart out to the Lord. And God, this is, man, I don't want to lust anymore. I don't want to be bound in drugs anymore. I mean, this was when all that stuff was a major issue in my life. And God, I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to be rebellious anymore. And I began to pour out my heart and just be honest with him about those things. I'll never forget people coming by laid hands on me and released the word of God. And something shifted that day. Something broke that day. In my mind, it was like I literally saw a city or a fortress that began to crumble and fall away. And I didn't have any idea what a stronghold was at that point in time. But what I know God was doing is he was destroying this kingdom of darkness. He was destroying these strongholds and these thought processes that had completely surrounded me. And I'm telling you, church, when I opened my eyes, it was like I was seeing for the first time for real. It was like I was seeing with my eyes for the first time. And it was just, it was the most amazing thing. And I began to realize, you know what was so cool? Where my mind used to just go into a sinful realm. And I didn't even realize it half the time. When I began to move forward from that day, it was like I would recognize that negative thought. I would recognize that angry thought. I would recognize, you know, whatever it was, even before it had come across my mind, before I'd acted on it, before anything. And it was like, now I can make a choice. Now I can make a choice. So this is what I want to do this morning. Some of you, you feel like your thoughts have you captive. We're supposed to be taking them captive. But if you need freedom in your mind, I just, every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this room. If you're here and you say, Pastor Jacob, I want that liberty in my mind. I want that liberty in my thought process. I want to have the power to take every thought captive, no longer used by the enemy. But I want my thoughts, my imaginations, I want every desire of my heart, I want to be for the Lord and for Him. If that's you, just right where you're at, would you just lift up your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Yeah. Oh, so many. This is what we're going to do. We've got about 5 minutes here. And I want to give you the chance to do what I received years ago. And I want to lay hands on you. And if you're here and you raise your hand, or maybe you didn't, and you say, well, I want hands laid on me anyway, I just want you to begin to step out and let's just form a line right here across the front. And we're just going to pray. We're going to pray if there's double-mindedness, there's a fracturing in our mind, any twisting, any stronghold that exists, we're just going to believe for the Lord to tear these things down even right now. Just right now. Yeah, just come. We've got some space here. As close to the front as you can get here. This is what I want.